Beginning of sorrows. I will tell you that the reason it took me so long to get over there today, I went back and pulled up all the references and put them up at the top of the update that goes up tomorrow. Well, I'll put it up late tonight. If you get a hold of that one update, it can guide you back to a whole bunch of stuff and goes back in our archives, and it shows the trend and the way that things have developed. Now, and the souls of martyr among the many saved being killed by ISIS. Now, I have taught this Revelation 6, 8 through 11 about 3 times. And I have taught it the same way. And the only thing I'll tell you about it, you know what it says. And this is what's going on over there right now. And we're in the late beginning of sorrows. I told you the beginning of sorrows was never meant to be in the tribulation period itself, but was to occur and let us know what was coming. And right now, how confident am I that this is right? I believe it's right. And, everybody has different opinions, but I believe it's right. I'm so confident of this, I'll just tell you. It's going to come down just like I'm telling you. It has fallen to pattern that has finally narrowed itself down to where the timing gets better and better and better. And so since I've already gone through this Revelation 6, 8, I've told you who them were. I've told you about the fourth part of the earth and that word earth is gaze, and why I don't believe it's referring to the whole earth. Although this will happen on the earth. I think this is primarily going to happen in the old world. We'll just have to wait and see. To kill with a sword, that's the red horse rider. With hunger, that's the black horse rider. With death, that's the pale horse rider. And then all of a sudden it shifts up to a heavenly scene. I tell you, the ISIS and other terrorist groups are flooding the area under the altar up there with martyrs. Some of those are real martyrs. And the others, he's flooding heaven with people that ISIS has killed. It's a time of bloodshed. It's horrible. I never dreamed that the Islam would become that extreme when I was over there in 1953. And I just never dreamed they would be that bad. Now, this next part here is something that I feel very confident on because of what is happening over there right now. And Seal 6 will not open until after the Obama departure. I feel very confident about that. This is when Zechariah 13:8 is fulfilled by Antichrist. That will be during the next administration. How confident of you are that? I'm very, very confident. Exactly when during the next administration, I can't say. But I think it's going to be well into it. As Jews flee into the Negev. So, this part here is something that I am anxiously awaiting to see. And I will see part of it if I don't die from natural causes or get run over by a truck. Like, well, that's a natural cause. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal. I don't think that's going to open until the next administration. I've gone back over this, back over this, back over this, gone back to what I wrote before, looked at it, checked it, validated it. And I really believe that this is going to happen during the next administration. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. If you read the books I wrote at first, the very first ones, I pointed out how when this smoke came up that God had constructed the atmosphere and how it would gradually build up above the ozone layer. It has to, because God made the atmosphere that way, and he knew that when he made it. And when I beheld, when he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. And God controls those tectonic plates. He could do it any way he wanted, but there it's there. And God created them in times where the world was being punished for its conduct, or Israel was, and it reflected all over the world. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. I've even drawn diagrams, charts, put it in all my books. And God made the earth to do this. He made the atmosphere to do this. He made the moon to take on a blood red color when it first when it had a thin layer like it's first going to have over the sun. Stars of heaven fell into the earth. This is exactly what I believe will happen, because God made comets. And that's what a comet does when it comes down. It poisons the water. And even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. When a fig tree develops untimely figs before they're ripe, before she should, and a strong wind comes before she normally does, and it doesn't take much of a strong wind to shake those off. I've seen them when they were first forming, and I've seen what a wind can do with them. We had fig trees right across the road from us growing along the fence on our side, and I used to go over and pick them after they got ripe, and the people over there didn't mind. They were quite good. Even as a fig casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And we had some strong winds up there at times with thunderstorms and other things, and it would not take off those young figs. Once they got firmly attached and the stem grew to a normal size, they could take a pretty strong wind. Now, what's going to happen when the comet comes down? It has to happen this way because God made it this way. God made things that when they come to the Earth's atmosphere, they burn up. And we've had comets come in, and they've burned up, but the actual fragments, the metal in them, they either have nickel, iron, or stone in them. It comes down, and it looks like a million stars. When a comet comes down, it just blankets out the atmosphere as it comes down. You can't see anything, but it looks like clouds way out for you. Well, you can't even see the end of them. And all of a sudden, you see these things peppering down. They've done that many times, And this is what's going to happen when it comes down. And the thing about all this, I have never lost sight of the fact God made all this. And so it's amazed me how he has pre-structured it. In other words, God does a lot of things because he knows in advance exactly what's going to happen. And he is involved in all of it. And I suppose you could say in this case, he predestined it knowing what would happen. But all this stuff, when I put it out, one of the nice things about it was I knew that it was right. And I didn't have any fear or worry. Even my carnal nature wasn't worried because this wasn't going to be proven wrong. And I don't think it will be wrong. There may be some little details in it that aren't right, but God did everything. And the rich men and the chief... Now, that's what happens after that. After that, it all starts and keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. This is a progressive thing of what happens in accordance with the thing. And I correlated that with all the events in Revelation, and that's in my second book, and it's there, and they just fit together like a glove. This can't happen before this happens, because God does this first, and you can see why he does it first. And then the next thing, this can't happen until that happens that I just mentioned. And to me, it's the most fantastic thing I've ever seen, and... Sometimes I say, Lord, forgive me, but you're something else. And it's just absolutely amazing the way he works. Well, you can see that it goes all the way down to the day of his wrath. And this is a preview of the entire tribulation period that begins with the Revelation, begins with with Revelation 6 and 6. 6 and 6. I'll get it right in a minute. Revelation 6 and 12 and goes right on down through the entire tribulation period from verses 13 to 16. It's an outline of the rest of the tribulation period, and it just goes in perfect alignment with the way that things develop in the trumpets and then in the seals. This begins the tribulation period in Israel. Zechariah 13:8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off, but the third shall be left therein. Now, this is what begins the tribulation period in Israel. Now, I'm not positive the juxtaposition on this. When I use the word juxtaposition, I'm trying to snow you. It's a very accurate word. It means that certain things happen, and they happen in the same time zone, and you're a little uncertain about exactly what's going to happen in that time zone. Here's what I think is going to happen. You're going to have the Antichrist attack Israel. Zechariah 13 and 8. And you're going to have, he's headed south. He drives them near the Negev. They just get there. He's getting ready to go after them. But I don't think he'll even get ready. I think he'll be so anxious to go ahead and start going ahead toward Egypt. He might not even do it if this happens. It will happen, but the timing I think on it. All of a sudden, that big earthquake will occur. And when that big earthquake occurs, it'll destroy quite a big segment of his army. But his army is going to be in the millions of millions of millions. This is when he finally gets them all down from Russia and Eurasia and all over the place, and even from Europe. Europe will have completely turned against him by that time. And he says, all the two parts shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. About 4 million Jews will die. Now that's a pretty solid, sizable Holocaust. But about 2 million make it to the Negev. Now, you know, a lot of people worry about this thing over there in Iran getting a thermonuclear weapon. I think they'll get one. But I don't think these 4 million Jews are killed by thermonuclear weapon. If they shoot that over there, the prevailing winds through there are from west to north at the level that carries that. You don't know how many fallout plots I've made of that place over there. And always seems that way. And if it's not there, it's going up toward Turkey, or it's going down toward the southeast with all those Arabs down there. And they're not stupid. Why should they use that thermonuclear weapon when they can go in there and knock out Israel? And if you think this modern-day Israel army is as patriotic as the one that I knew over there in 53, I'm sorry, it's just not. And these Arabs are tremendous in number. They just outnumber those Jews fantastic. And they've got all kind of terrific equipment. Well, so have the Israelis. But they're very small in number. I really don't think they're going to use a thermonuclear weapon. I think that they're going to try to make a mass attack on Israel. The Antichrist will. He knows if he launches one of his, Israel will blow him off the map. They'll blow him off the planet. And they all know that. So I think this is going to be a brutal war. And a lot of people are going to be killed. But it's not going to be with thermonuclear bombs. I just don't believe it. Well, we'll just see what happens. Because we're going to have plenty of time to watch this, I think. Now, this ends the tribulation period in Israel. Remember 13:8? This ends it. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. That's their judgment. That's and you have to take, he's going to take the dross off of them, the unbelief. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. They will, a nation will be born in one day. And they will say, it is my people. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, what happens during this time between Zechariah 13:8 and 13:9? Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kings of this world have become the kings of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. They're all going to be up in heaven. He'll get everybody down here that's saved at the rapture. Now, there'll be some that'll have to go through the tribulation period, and they'll be the gleanings. They'll be the ones, they'll be the remnant that comes through it. The kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, what happens in heaven after the rapture? Well, I've interpreted this so many times, talked about it so many times. I'm not going to waste your time, because this thing, this is the way it's going to be. Now, you know, that may seem bold of me to say so in braggadocio, but as far as I'm concerned, this is the way it's going to be. And the one I've got that I'm sending out late tonight or in the morning, that's what kept me over there so long. That's why I'm so blinking tired. I went back and I took all the references where a child could understand it, and I put them in one summary. And a lot of people are hitting on that thing now. In the last month, we have had an additional 30 people hitting us to what we already had hitting us. And so it's doing extremely well, and a lot of people are showing a lot of interest in it because they're beginning to wonder what's happening, because they keep talking about red moons and all that kind of stuff, and they've got the public out there absolutely confused. They got the news people, they're absolutely confused. They don't know their lattice rectum from a hole in the ground. It's absolutely pitiful. And you know, I'm not saying look at me. I'm saying look at the Word. And it's just so obvious what's happening. But maybe it's because we've been studying it. Maybe it's because we're students of it. Maybe because we have an interest in it. Maybe we know more because we've let God teach us more.
Man. A lot of Southern Baptists, I got some friends that go to one up in Delaware.
Yeah.
While they were, they're hung up on this three red moon thing. So they're really hung up on that.
Well, the four blood moons.
And that's you know where it came from? John. Yeah. That guy is a millionaire, more than a millionaire. He sells those books like wildfire because he appeals to people. And I had one woman that just dropped to me finally because I would just tell them the way it was and use the scripture, and she found out I didn't speak in tongues, and that was the end of me.
But Tom, another thing they're hung up on is and the sycamore tree was cut down.
I haven't heard that one. I thought it was one Zacchaeus went up. Well, I did.
I told him, I said, that had to do with the Jews, not the Americans.
They're crazy. Because they want to put their own ideas in God's head. And once they convince themselves of it, they say, surely that's what God meant. And good grief. I pray every night and ask God, Lord, teach me. Don't let me get any wild ideas. Because when I came up here, you know, I didn't know any better. And I listened to some of that stuff. And not like, I didn't ever listen to John Hagee. But they had some preachers on television that I kind of liked. The book of Job.
Before I was saved, there was one that I loved listening to. Garner Ted Armstrong.
My man.
I thought it was really something.
World tomorrow.
Yeah.
I like that old boy in Del Rio, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Slim Reinhardt.
Yeah, Slim, your
money to Del Rio. Please, no stamps. Send your money to Del Rio, Texas. And I thought all the people down there were like that. And I was surprised when I got down there and I was right. Well, I enjoyed it. I tell you what, I enjoy anything that I believe God gave me. And I feel good. And I realize I may not have listened right. But I just love it. And, you know, when I first came up here,